Run Fairy Far Away, written by Olivia Anderson is not my name, lol, read by Mistborn Hero, a Bat Family podfic, featuring the characters Jason Todd, Dick Grayson, Barbara Gordon, Talia al Ghul, and Bruce Wayne. It is tagged for child abuse, suicidal thoughts, and ideation. Jason Todd has issues and deserves better, but I am mean. Jason Todd needs a hug. Jason Todd centric. Resurrected Jason Todd implied. Talia al Ghul tries. In this house we love and respect Talia al Ghul. Amen, amen. Barbara Gordon is Oracle. She is Snake now, because no leg. Joking, it's because mythology links oracles and snakes a lot. But could you imagine? Dick Grayson is Robin, but still got the shitty disco wing suit. I said what I said. Bruce Wayne tries to be a good parent. I don't know if Alfie's gonna be in this one. He's not planned, but at this point, anything goes with this week. Summary. Jason does not want to go home. Because he does not want to go home, all of the local fairy decided that they are adopting him. Part 3 of the All Fae and Games series. Chapter 1. Jason Todd was 11 years old and he didn't want to go home. There was no one there for him anyways. His mom was in the hospital again, and his dad was working to try and afford hospital bills. He should be with his mom, he knew, but he couldn't stand to see her so frail. He was alone. He was alone and hungry and tired, and he knew the other people in the city would stop being quite so generous soon. And once the novelty of his mother's sickness wore off, once he stopped reminding them of that old story about a kid who had gone to the Fae and traded his parents' health for his own freedom, once he stopped being innocent, when he would be forced to steal food, when he would become just like his dad. He wasn't a pessimist, he was a realist, which was why, as he walked along the outskirts of the town, his fingers trailing along the iron chain link fence that had been constructed long before he was born, he quietly considered his options. Winter was coming. Even now, the cold metal nipped at the tips of his fingers. He wasn't sure their pity would last all that long, especially since the townsfolk needed to hole up in their homes until the snow melted, and it was very, very easy to put things that were out of sight, out of mind. His eyes fell upon a gap under the fence. A particularly stubborn animal had managed to wriggle itself inside the village. He toed the hole with his shoe, wondering how long the gap had been there without getting patched. He knew that the fence wasn't really there to keep the Fae out, like the townsfolk always claimed. They also claimed that there were fairy who had wings, so he had doubts that they would really be stopped by some walls. No, the fence was to stop them from going out. Apparently, one of the nearby Fae had kidnapped 2 kids around 100 years ago, and they didn't want to allow it to happen again. Jason wasn't sure if he believed it. He thought it was convenient that anyone that might have known the kids was long dead. But it lined up well enough with what he had been told that he opted to, at the very least, try and be safe. But really, it wasn't like there was anyone to miss him if it went wrong. His mom might die. His dad would probably be happy to have one less mouth to feed. Not that his dad was really doing that nowadays. It was kind of the whole reason Jason was here. He took a deep breath to steady himself. And then he started clambering up the fence. It creaked with every shift of his foot. But he reached the top in less than a minute. He didn't bother with getting down safely. Instead, he simply jumped down. It sent a flare of pain up his ankles, but he didn't bother to check on them as he rushed for the nearby bushes. With luck, anyone that had noticed, if anyone had noticed, would assume that all of the sounds were an animal trying to sneak in. He slowly meandered through the woods, a basket hanging from the crook of his arm. He needed to find some wild flowers, nuts and fruits that he could try and preserve. Nuts would last the longest, naturally, but he wasn't sure how that would be nutritionally. Finding a couple of animals would be good, too, even if the food wouldn't last all that long. And yes, he knew that he might encounter a fae. He knew the stories, had listened to the people in his town prattle on about the dangers of a child-napping creature that would surely think of a boy without parents at home as an opportunity. But he had decided that, if he ended up taking away, then at least the fae would probably feed him. He would take whatever wind he could to get at this point. He still wasn't prepared to find a path. It was thin. Now, nature was reclaiming it, plants spilling out into it and attempting to root themselves in what had once been hard-packed soil. Jason walked along it, picking everything that didn't look too good. He was sure it all tasted amazing, but he wasn't all that interested in getting picked up by the fae. He would much rather do the picking, thank you very much. At one point, he found a small bird digging for worms in the dirt, but it fluttered off before he could even think about trying to catch it. He sighed, lightly, squinting up through the leaves to find out where the sun was in the sky, even if there was really no reason to get home before dark, and then frowned to himself. There was a birdhouse up there, in the leaves, painted in bright red, yellow, and green. The paint looked new, despite the fact that it was clear that no one had come this direction quite a while. He walked towards it, his eyes narrowed, and found himself in a clearing that he was sure hadn't been there before. Jason went still. The birdhouse still hung from the tree, perfectly innocent where it was nestled in the branches, but it was no longer his main concern. "What are you doing here?" an impossibly gentle voice said off to the side. It was the verbal equivalent of a feather, floating on the breeze and light where it brushed past his ears. Goosebumps raised on his skin. "Oh, you're foraging." So Jason, in a moment of brilliance, spun around and chucked his basket at the sound. It had been a frail-sounding voice, so perhaps it would work. Or perhaps not. Perhaps the being would duck away with far too much grace for something as large as them. "Whoops," the thing said, seeming largely unconcerned. He stood in black pants and pale blue shirt with a, frankly, illegally low collar. It wasn't a terrible collar combination, but when combined with the golden jewelry hanging from his wrists and neck and the red streaking their hair, it was a little strange to look at. Not that that was, really, where Jason was looking.
"Why do you have socks on your back?"
said Jason, who figured that he was already screwed. No need to be polite at this point. The fae gave him a blank stare, his smile dropping for just a moment, and then he turned his head to look behind himself. They snickered as they realized what exactly he was talking about. "Oh, the feathers on my wings haven't fully grown in yet, and my dad is making me wear these to make sure they don't get cold." Jason nodded, slowly, as if that made sense. Maybe it did. He didn't know, nor did he really care. He just had come to a horrible realization.
"Fuck!
Hey, language!" The Fae, who didn't look much older than him, 14 or 15 max, but could have been centuries old for all he knew, channeled their inner parents. Jason barely paid him any mind, for he was too busy falling to his knees beside his fallen basket. The nuts and berries had spilled across the grass, and as much as he wanted to simply scoop them all back up, a good portion had passed over the line of mushrooms. A round line of mushrooms, flowers, and shiny rocks. One might even call it a ring. The fourth rule danced around his mind's eye. Do not step into any mushroom rings. The rule was deceptively vague, and he didn't want to chance it. He didn't want to reach inside it, and even if he did, he was pretty sure that them falling into the ring would probably count as an offering to the fairy that owned it. No one was stupid enough to try and steal from the Fae, and certainly knew better than to take back a gift that had been promised to them, accidentally or not. And, all that considered, he wasn't even sure whether it now counted as Fae food or not. He groaned a little and ran a hand through his hair, his eyes flickering upwards again to try and gauge the time. He could come back tomorrow, he knew, but he also knew that every time he ventured into the woods was a tempting fate. He could get spotted by someone from the town and confined to his house until his assumed enchantment with the Fae wore off, or he could encounter a different Fae, one that wasn't content to simply watch him like an interesting bug that they had found while poking around in the dirt. Speaking of the Fae, they came to kneel behind him in the grass. Jason might have worried about stains on the being's pants, but with the way the breeze passed over them without so much as ruffling his hair, Jason had already begun to suspect that the Fae was simply immune to all possible imperfections. Outside of his clashing colors. But who knows, perhaps the style was simply different in the other world. The Fae began to gather all the stuff on the inside of the Fae ring, dragging the wide assortment to rest beside the basket. Jason frowned suspiciously at it all. Does that count as Fae food now? He got another blank stare, and now Jason began to think that they looked a little like a bird, with eyes that were just a little too wide and a head twisted to look at him at an angle it shouldn't have been able to reach, but perhaps that was just because he knew that the Fae had wings hidden beneath those strange socks of theirs, and could now only think of him as bird-like. I don't know, the fairy said finally, their lips pressing into a thin line as they thought it over. I'm sure Oracle would know, but I don't want to bother her. She shrugged his shoulders. I suppose I can find you something else. Maybe some meat would be more filling. Jason jolted, jumping to his feet and backing away, his hands up in the air in a kind of surrender. That's not necessary. I'm not supposed to make a deal with the fairy. This isn't a deal, they began, and the word sounded strange upon its tongue, far heavier than everything else he had said so far. It's a gift. Or a replacement, I suppose. Jason shook his head rapidly. I appreciate it, but I simply cannot accept. How about this? The Fae began, his eyebrows tugging upwards in apparent distress, or at least a very convincing facsimile of it. Though, Jason couldn't imagine why he would be distressed. If you beat me in a game of chess, I'll help you out. Games aren't deals. They actually give you a chance to win. Jason thought this over. He had heard a few tales of changelings. No one ever seemed to come to a consensus on what exactly they were. One of the townsfolk insisted that they were children that the fae may bestow upon someone else who couldn't have children of their own. Others said that they were what happened when the fairies and the humans bore a child together. Another person liked to claim that they were baby fae, forced into the hands of an unaware human family to raise until adulthood, and that to the two children who had been taken oh so long ago were just changelings that had gone back to their real family. But one particular version stuck out in his mind, stories where a fairy would create a child that was perfectly identical to someone else's, put them both in a crib, and then forced the parents to try and pick out which one was theirs. It was a game meant to be impossible, meant to torture the humans with a choice that would leave them second-guessing their decision for the rest of their lives, but it was winnable. A 50-50 shot. What do you get if you win? The fairy seemed to think it over for a moment. He broke into a wide smile. I've always wanted a little brother. And if Jason were less wary of the fairy in front of him, or perhaps more wary, he might have paid more attention to the exact verbiage. He would have noticed that the fae had never actually answered the question. They had stated a fact that they had always wanted a little brother, but had not stated what they would do if they won, for he had no real intentions of doing so. This was all just a roundabout way of getting out of the debt they had accidentally found their way into. But alas, the fairy had opted to play into the exact stereotype that Jason had assumed they would behave like, and therefore the boy did not notice. He was left to consider his options. And well, he had gone into the woods fully aware of the fact that he might get stolen away. At least being the fairy's brother was a nicer fate than the one that he had in mind. There was just one problem. I mean, I know the rules, but I've never actually played chess before, Jason admitted, shuffling awkwardly on his feet. Neither have I, they said cheerfully.
Sorry?
For a second, the fae's head jerked upwards and they met his eyes, and Jason knew instantly that he had made a mistake of some kind. Though he couldn't see it, he could feel something pull taut between them, a connection accidentally formed. Apology accepted, the fae said simply, and the tension snapped with so much force that Jason stumbled. A chair swept him off his feet before he could do it himself. A chessboard popped into being in front of him, carved into a large tree stump that simply hadn't been there before, and the fairy settled down opposite to him. The fairy smiled. Would you like to play? Jason decided that fae are insane. He had already been told this before by the townsfolk several times over, but he has just decided for himself. Sure, he said after a few moments' consideration. Great! So what does this piece do? The fae said, pointing at the king. Needless to say, Jason ended up winning. It was a long, arduous battle, not because it was particularly hard to win, but because the fae, who insisted Jason should call him Robin, even if that didn't at all feel like a formal enough way to address an otherworldly being, made Jason actually teach him how to play. Something about how it made things more fair if he knew how things moved, as if anything about this was fair. Outside of Robin, who was fair folk. And indeed, he had a very fair temper about losing, getting to his feet and smiling gracefully, wings still bound up in dark blue fabric, attached over his head as he stretched out. I would offer to catch a deer, since that would feed you for longer, but I fear you wouldn't be able to take it home. He hummed thoughtfully. Maybe a couple of rabbits could be better. The fairy didn't even wait for a response. He simply scooped up the basket and disappeared into the bush with a big yell that he would be back soon. However, when a being lives much longer than a human, soon becomes somewhat hard to judge. Jason squinted up at the sun, sinking rapidly on the horizon, and he wondered whether it was worth it to wait. Would it be seen as rude to leave now? Probably, and besides, the fairy had his entire basket, and Jason didn't want to let this day become a total waste. So he sighed and busied himself, played a few rounds of chess against no one, inspected the chessboard carved into a tree trunk that looked as if it would become a permanent addition to the clearing. Night time began to fall, and Jason noticed, looking up at the starry sky in dismay, that there was a tiny lantern hidden amongst the branches of a nearby tree. It wasn't particularly interesting to look at, there wasn't even a flame flickering inside it, and yet, the way the glass shimmered beneath the moon caught his attention. He slowly made his way across the clearing, careful to give the ring of mushrooms a wide berth, until he reached the tree with a hidden appliance. He glanced back at the way the fae had disappeared, but the night was just as still as it was a few moments prior, and so he started to climb. It didn't take long to reach it. It wasn't particularly high up in the tree, hanging from a sturdy branch close to the bottom. He pulled himself up onto a branch and straddled it, making sure not to let himself fall as he leaned forward until his face was mere inches away from the lantern. He drummed his fingers against the glass and was pleased when it flickered to life, giving off a faint glow. Maybe he should have thought it was weird, as he didn't notice any oil or a light bulb inside, but he was merely a kid, and he had never known a lantern that didn't light up when prompted. He started to lean closer, trying to figure out how exactly it fastened to the branch so he could get it off. Hello? He slipped right off the branch, or he almost did. A hand caught him by the back of his shirt before he could plummet through the ground, and his head jerked around to look at his savior. A girl looked down at him, smiling beamlessly. It was a gap-toothed smile, but even then it was strangely perfect-looking, as if the gap was simply supposed to be there. He was more concerned about the dark green scales that were dotted across her face like freckles, though, if he was going to be honest. You called? He fell. The world span as he raced towards the ground, branches almost seeming to run away from him. The dirt was weirdly plush, though, and he didn't end up scraping his arms like he was supposed to. It still didn't feel great. Jason groaned and rested his head on the strange soft dirt. Whoops! The fairy began, and Jason couldn't help but be reminded of Robin. Maybe they had transcended their gender, or whatever it was called. Fairy could probably do that. But then he watched them start to climb down, and noticed that they had no legs but a tail, and quickly changed his mind. Maybe they just knew each other. She slithered over to him, the long, deep green tail poking out from beneath her pale yellow sundress, working hard to get close as fast as possible. "Are you all right?" "Yeah," he said, the word leaving him as more of a whiz than anything else. She raised an eyebrow at him, skeptically, but he pretended not to notice. "Just wanna lay here for a bit." She snickered quietly, and after a few moments, where she seemed to mull it over, came to lay beside him. "So, let me guess, you didn't actually mean to summon me?"
"Nope."
"What were you doing with my lantern, then?"
Jason grimaced.
"Well, I didn't know it belonged to a fae. She waited for him to continue, but he didn't. Her eyebrows knit for a couple of seconds before tugging upwards in surprise. A grin split across her face.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Are you going to smite me? Because I'm about to get food from some other fairy, and I don't know whether he'll be happy if you kill me before that happens.
I wouldn't be pleased. No.
Ravin's chipper voice said, and Jason really wanted these fairies to stop surprising him. But Oracle would never do that anyways.
You don't know that for sure. I could kill people in my spare time. You wouldn't know.
Ravin snickered. But I do. So Jason was right. They were close in some way. Maybe siblings? They didn't look alike in the slightest, but honestly, Jason was pretty sure he would be strangely disappointed if fairy family dynamics worked the exact same as those of humans. If families looked somewhat like each other in the way that any normal human family might, it would be boring. No, Jason thought, they should all be their own brand of strange-looking, or perhaps they should all look alike to an unnatural degree, like watching two mirror images of each other. Ravin yelled at him from his staring by setting a basket by Jason. It was practically overflowing with food, and Jason had a strong suspicion that the only thing stopping it all from spilling out was magic. Not that that was really what he cared about. Jason licked his lips. The food looked good, far better than the scraps he would get from the pitting townspeople, who he appreciated, of course. He liked not dying of starvation, but he didn't think it was rude to point out that this was much better than any person's leftovers. He had never seen better berries, and three rabbits that the fairy had caught all looked fatter than anything he had ever seen before. He glanced at the fairy.
It's not fae food, right? Just to check.
He asked, trying to keep the hopeful, almost pleading note out of his voice.
Nah, fairy food is better than this, Oracle said.
She reached past Jason to take a berry and pop it into her mouth. Her nose scrunched just slightly.
God. How did I used to eat this stuff?
Jason frowned at her and took a berry of his own. He glanced at Ravin to confirm that it was safe before shoving the cranberry into his mouth. It was tart, as all good cranberries were, and he breathed out a contented sigh. It was amazing. If all it took was gambling away his freedom to the fairy every day to get food like this, he might just keep coming back to test his luck. He wondered how good fae food had to be for Oracle to act as if it was some kind of mild torture to eat this. Out of habit, more than anything, he turned and offered one to Ravin, which was a little silly considering they were the one to find them, and he surely could have eaten some if he wanted. But Ravin just shrugged and held up his hand.
Eating human food is weird, he said.
Jason raised his eyebrows.
It doesn't fill you, Oracle offered. If either of us really wanted, we could eat that entire basket and not feel it.
Jason's eyes widened, and he dragged it closer to himself, much to the pair's amusement.
Don't worry, Ravin said, dropping beside Jason. We're not going to. No reason to, you know?
Jason squinted, with a joking kind of suspiciousness.
I'm not taking any chances.
The fairy spluttered.
I literally can't lie.
Jason stuck out his tongue at him. Oracle snorted at Ravin's offended expression, and then he sighed and got to his feet, hoisting up the basket of food with a little more difficulty than he would like to admit to. I should get going home. It's already dark enough. He glanced up and grimaced. Somehow, even more time had passed while they had been sitting here, and now the moon was hanging in almost the exact middle of the sky. If his father got home before him... The man probably wouldn't, he knew, but if he did and Jason wasn't there, he shivered, and it wasn't at all due to the cold. Ravin and Oracle jumped to their feet immediately. Or well, Ravin jumped to their feet. Oracle simply twisted to slither on her tail once more. "We'll go with you," Oracle offered. Jason grimaced. He didn't want to lead the fairy to his house. They seemed nice, but he could not let them know he didn't have a family at the moment. He didn't put much stock in the rumors and stories and fairy tales that spread through the village like famine, but he wasn't stupid. The village elders had those rules for a reason. Just because he was willing to break the rules when he was desperate didn't mean he was going to be purposefully idiotic. "I'll be fine. I have a knife." He pulled out the old dagger for emphasis. The color of it was dull, despite the moonlight spilling down over it. But that didn't change the fact that it was sharp. Neither of the fairies seemed impressed. But, after a simple glance at each other, they both backed off. Jason sent them a grateful smile. "Goodbye." They waved wordlessly, and Jason never noticed the fairy flying overhead as he trekked through the woods, making sure he got home safely. Jason's mom recovered. It was the biggest health scare she had had yet, and Jason had begged her to stop using because every hospital visit lasted longer and he wasn't sure he could pull off another miracle. The doctors weren't fairy, couldn't do anything if she ever went too far, and the thought was terrifying. She told him she would stop. She lied. Jason had come home one day to find his mother curled up on the floor unmoving. The rest of the day passed in a blur, as did much of the next month, but he would never forget the glassy way her eyes had looked. He didn't want to go home. He didn't want to go home. His father was a wreck, working longer shifts. Jason didn't know why he kept up the charade. He knew better than anyone else that his father's work was anything but innocent. And when he was home, he was angrier than Jason had ever seen him, and there was no one else for him to take it out on anymore, just Jason. Jason had stared at the hole in the fence, at the barely there path into the woods, for hours. He had sat in the snow until he stopped shivering, his face pressed against the cold wiring until he was pretty sure he would have freeze burns carving their way over his cheek for the rest of his life. He didn't know if Dick Grayson had ever been a real person, but he understood him nonetheless. He wanted his mom back so bad. He wanted to see her again. He just didn't want to be here alone anymore. His eyes drifted shut. A hand rested on his shoulder, and he looked up to find a woman. Jason blinked at her with frost-crusted lashes. He was sure he had never seen a woman with such deep brown skin before, nor with such vibrant green eyes. She smiled at him, and it was just a little too perfect for it to be anything other than unsettling. Something in the back of his head was blaring warnings, but he was so tired. "Let's get you home," she said, her voice dripping with an accent he didn't recognize, and a kind of warmth that he hadn't experienced in what felt like years. "I don't want to," he said, his voice choked. "You don't want to die here, do you?" she asked. Jason couldn't bring himself to lie, even to something that he was pretty sure was a hallucination. His expression fell, distantly. He felt bad for making her sad, but it was all so far away, like he wasn't even really in his own body, just watching from afar as something happened to what was once him. She sighed and pressed a warm hand to his cheek. He leaned into the touch. Her hand was much softer than the fence had been. And then he pulled back.
"I'm tired," he said.
"Then how about you go to bed?" she tried. He might have given her a dirty look if he had the energy to. She was misinterpreting what he said on purpose. She gave a quiet chuckle, but there wasn't much humor to be found in it. "Well then, why not?"
"Don't want to go home," Jason slurred.
"But you're not against dying," she said, more to herself than anything. It wasn't a question, and yet Jason nodded regardless. She winced.
"Well, why?"
He gave her a mildly incredulous look.
Was she going to try and debate him out of this? They'll be happy when I go. At least now I'm choosing it myself.
She seemed to think it over for a minute. "Well, why make them happy? Do you really want to help them when they are so awful to you? Why not stay alive to spite them?"
Jason considered this. He liked the idea of spiting people. It was fun to not be on the receiving end sometimes. Hastily, he nodded, feeling just a little bit more like himself. She smiled and pressed a kiss to the top of his head. The next morning, he woke up in bed, tucked in, though he knew his dad would never do such a thing, and his mother never could again. Had he done that to himself, somehow? He remembered the day before, the mysterious woman, and the half-hearted attempt that he had made to let go. Jason wasn't quite sure whether it had been a dream, a hallucination, or something more, but as he mulled over the short conversation in his mind, he decided that he still agreed with the decision that he had come to. He was choosing to leave. If only to prove that he could. End of chapter 1.
Run very far away. Chapter 2. Choosing to leave didn't make it much easier. His dad was thrown into jail. It turned out that working all those long hours just meant more chances to get caught. When put that way, it really was just tempting fate to keep working in the way that Jason's dad was. It was inevitable that it would all catch up at some point, which left Jason alone in an empty house. They had tried to throw him into a children's home, but Jason left, again and again, sneaking out every day until eventually they tired of trying to bring him back. He was allowed to stay in his old home, at least until winter passed, and it became less of a death sentence to force someone to stay outside. A child on their own was still a death sentence, of course, but one you could chalk up to being the kid's fault. If you were deep enough in denial. One that was less direct than throwing a kid into snow. Instead, Jason was left to starve. He was a resourceful kid, but he was still, above all, a kid. There wasn't much a kid could do to help out around town for free meals, especially not during winter, especially not anything that wouldn't burn more energy than he would manage to get from the meager meals he earned, especially not when the cold seeped into his thin jacket and pants and forced him to shiver away any and all of the life he had within the hour. He considered, briefly, going back to the children's home. He could suck it up and let his pride go and show up on their doorstep, begging for food and a place to live that wasn't quite so drafty, quite so empty. But there was a reason he had left. It was the same reason why he had watched Don wordlessly as his father got arrested. He was done with that life. Would always avoid it, to the best of his abilities, and if he had to run away every day until the people around him finally got the point, then so be it. He would rather starve to death than have an adult to stand over him with a raised hand again. At least this way, he would be able to have some kind of control over whether or not he lived to see the next day. At least he didn't have to walk on eggshells. At least he didn't have to wonder whether or not this would be the day they snapped and finally went too far. No, he would know, and there was something relieving about that, about getting to choose even if the choice was terrible. So, when his stomach grumbled and his pantry was empty of things to sate it, he took his fate into his own hands for the second time in his life. He shrugged on his jacket and snatched up the basket and snuck out under the cover of the night, as he had so many months prior. The hole in the fence was larger this time. Jason didn't even have to try all that hard to sleep through. Silently, he thanked whatever animal for sneaking in, because his life was made much easier. The path through the woods was different, this time, less crowded, in that the trees and large stumps that had once made for a tricky trek were gone, making it easy to walk. The plants, however, continued their effort to spill out into the path, their leaves just barely brushing against Jason's pant legs as he made his way through the brush. He hadn't noticed it the first time around, for the outside world hadn't been quite as different, but now that it was the middle of winter, he realized just how much warmer the woods were. His eyes caught on berry bushes that shouldn't have been bearing fruit at this time of the year. It was all unnatural, but it was inviting. Perhaps that was just how the Fae were. Jason hugged his basket close to himself, doing his best to ignore the food that grew oh so innocently from every tree and bush. It looked amazing, and he knew that all it would take to craft something was a simple flex of his fingers, for everything was well within reach. But he wasn't going to risk it. It was possible that things simply grew better while around the fairy, because they were more in tune with nature. But that was mere speculation. He wasn't going to eat possible fae food on a guess. He stilled his stomach by reminding himself that no matter what, the problem would soon be solved. He pressed onwards, his breathing carefully even. He wasn't sure whether the fae were watching him. Perhaps he had noticed him the moment he had entered the forest. Perhaps it was more complicated than that. But he didn't want to let on just how desperate he was. Being desperate meant you could be taken advantage of, and Jason wasn't intent on losing. His knuckles were white on the handles of his basket regardless. The clearing, unlike last time, didn't hesitate to appear for him. He saw it coming from a metaphorical mile away, and he breathed a tiny sigh of relief. At least this time, he probably wouldn't be jump-scared. As if to agree with that fact, a fairy stood in plain view. It leaned against something that didn't exist from its spot in the middle of the mushroom circle, as if waiting for him. They weren't any of the ones he had seen already, but they seemed to be of a similar species. Large bat wings were wrapped around itself like a cloak, guarding off a chill that wasn't there. He carefully ran his fingers through his hair, tugging out tiny flowers knotted in the black locks, and setting them carefully in bulging pant pockets. Jason smiled nervously as he approached the fairy. It gave him a smile in return, a small one, lips still pressed into a thin line.
"What brings you here, little one?"
they asked, pausing in their attempts to get an almost impossible number of flowers out of their hair. Jason hesitated.
"Not going to say hello?"
The fairy blinked a few times before smiling, a little wider this time, in a way that showed off sharp teeth.
"I could, if you wish. I find humans don't typically do that, though. Especially not the children."
He frowned a little. He had kind of been hoping to make it apologize for being impolite. He had wanted to see if he could form that weird debt bond that he had accidentally made with Robin before, if in the opposite direction. Of course, it probably should have been expected that he didn't face it. Unlike the two he had met before, which were both visibly junk, this one felt old. There was something in the way he looked that made Jason wonder just how much he had seen. But he wasn't going to admit that to its face. Instead, he shrugged his shoulders.
"I guess it's fine."
The fairy sighed lightly.
"Well, now that that's out of the way, you never did say why you came."
Jason nodded slowly. His stomach growled, and his face burned red as he hugged his stomach. The word "sorry" hung on the tip of his tongue, and he snapped his mouth closed with a quiet click to keep it from escaping.
"I suppose that answers that question,"
the fairy said, bringing a hand up to its mouth in an attempt to stifle the quiet sneakers threatening to escape it. Their shoulders visibly shook with laughter, though. Jason smiled sheepishly.
"Yeah, I was hoping that I could get one of you guys to feed me."
"I could make sure you're never hungry again,"
the fae said easily, and Jason was sure that it could, but he wasn't all that fond of the idea of immediately giving himself up to the fae, or dying. Both were viable interpretations of the sentence.
"How about a game instead?"
Jason asked, thinking fast, remembering the first time he had gotten food from a fairy.
"One of my choosing."
The fae's eyes seemed to twinkle with stars.
"Oh, a game?
What are the terms?"
"If I win, I get to go home with 1 week's worth of food. Safe, normal human food. And if you win, you get to take me away like you like to do."
The fae beamed.
"Sounds fun. What game would you like to play?"
Jason grinned widely.
"Pretend."
"Pretend?"
"Mm-hmm. First one to get the fake kill loses. Starting now." Jason made fake guns with his fingers and shot the man before he could react. "Pew pew, I win." The fairy looked at him with the most visibly shocked expression Jason had ever seen, raised its eyebrows, lips parted just slightly, eyes unblinking. But it was this way to an unnatural degree. It was such a perfect expression of surprise that it felt fake, and there were no minute muscle movements, no slight wrinkle of his nose or fluttering lashes. It was genuine,
Of that, Jason was almost entirely sure, but it was still inhuman in a way that was most difficult to describe. Not that it was what was making sweat bead itself on his forehead. Jason tried to keep his confident grin in place despite the nerves creeping up the back of his throat like bile. This entire plan hinged on the hope that the fairy wouldn't interpret this as an insult and kill him. The fairy finally snapped out of it enough to splutter.
Well, that wasn't fair.
I told you the rules, Jason said, careful not to sound too relieved that he hadn't been smited on the spot. Maybe he came off as cocky instead, but that was done and done. Technically, you also had a chance. He got a blank stare for another few painfully long moments, and then the fairy chuckled, shaking his head.
All right, fine, you got me.
The basket was jerked out of Jason's hands, and his eyes widened as he watched the grass carried over to the fairy. He watched as it stepped out of the circle like it wasn't there at all. Jason frowned confusedly.
Aren't you guys supposed to be trapped in those? He asked, pointing down at the ring, and then he remembered that pointing was impolite and quickly changed to a big gesture. He wasn't sure if the mushroom ring would get mad at him, but damn if he was going to make sure that it had no reason to.
The fairy glanced over and smiled.
No, it is best to stay in them, as that is where our magic is the strongest, and we can get back to our realm the easiest from there. It is the safest place for a fairy to be. But there is nothing actually forcing us to stay there.
Jason frowned. The safest place for a fairy to be? Aren't you guys immortal?
Do you think that the fence around your village is made of iron for fun? That the knife hidden in your waistband is of the same material by coincidence?
He pressed his lips together thinly. He had, in all honesty, but he wasn't all that fond of the idea of admitting as such to a fairy, who was speaking in a tone that made it clear they thought it was all too obvious. And maybe it was. After all, fairy were said to be far more powerful than humans, and if Jason had been able to climb the fence, then so could they. There had to be some reason why the people that had built it had thought it would at least give the fairy pause.
Wait, how did you know I had a knife?
Jason turned around and found the fae was already gone. He sighed and shook his head. Right, fairy are weird and they apparently have a thing for appearing and disappearing randomly. How could he have ever forgotten?
He sat down in the grass with a deep groan. If this was going to become a consistent thing, which he was pretty sure it would, seeing as he had only bartered for food for 1 week, and it was going to be just as difficult to get food next week, then he was definitely going to start bringing a book to events like this. Though, as he watched the stars above him wink through the branches, he wondered absently whether it really was taking as long as he thought. He could swear that he could see the moon sliding its way across the sky. Did time move faster here? He supposed it wasn't the kind of thing that he would be able to ever confirm. Perhaps he could take a watch into the forest and see if it was affected, but he wasn't sure about it. And if the watch simply broke, that seemed like the kind of thing that would happen.
Jason turned over in the grass, his eyebrows furrowed just slightly. If it didn't break, then would it follow the strange time of the forest? Or would it continue to move at the snail's pace that the human world always went? How would that feel, watching the seconds tick by, ever so slowly, letting time slip by without him being there to enjoy the life he was supposed to live?
How long could he stay here without eating? Would he get hungry and tired at the rate of someone living in the normal world? Or could he go theoretical days without eating? Before he knew it, his eyes were drifting shut. This really was taking a while. He would just sleep for a few minutes. A feather light touch on his arm jolted him awake. His head jerked up to find the fairy looming over him. It looked at him with wide eyes, the hand it had been using to drape a coat over him still hanging in mid-air. He scrambled backward, uncaring of the grass stains that were certainly going to be on the back of his pants tomorrow, nerves eating at him. Jason pressed the hand to his chest, trying to remind it to beat at its normal pace. The coat gave him all the context he needed. The fairy was just trying to be kind, but that didn't stop his breath from coming out in frantic little whizzes. The fairy carefully set the basket, overflowing with food, in the grass, and held up a hand in a way that was clearly supposed to be placating, but Jason eyed the hand like it had personally killed his mother, and the fae backed off. Jason curled up on the grass, his eyes squeezed together tightly, his heart pounded in his chest, but thinking about it only made it speed up even more, and he was sure that he would pass out soon if he couldn't relax. He gritted his teeth. He hated adrenaline sometimes. Sure, it was supposed to help you accomplish amazing feats you wouldn't otherwise be able, but it wasn't helping him right now. In fact, he was pretty sure that it was trying to kill him.
Did you know, fae don't have genitalia?
Jason's head jerked up to look at the fairy. What the fuck? He rasped.
I read somewhere that shocking people can sometimes snap them out of panic,
the fairy said, smiling weakly.
Are you feeling any better?
The air was unnaturally still as he waited for the panic to subside, as if the very world around him was scared that he might break under the pressure of a single breeze. Slowly, his shoulders untensed. He took a deep breath. It hurt a little, but at least he didn't feel like there were invisible hands pressing against his windpipe anymore. An improvement.
I guess.
He blinked a few times to clear the tears that had prickled at the corners of his eyes. The world was duller in color than he remembered it being, and exhaustion threatened to pull him right back down to sleep.
So, how do you have kids, then?
Jason asked, deciding that he might as well ask. Maybe if the answer horrified him enough, he would calm down for real.
Steal them, usually,
it said, shrugging. Jason spluttered.
Or making them,
the fairy added quickly, clearly trying to brush past that can of worms. Jason was not willing to do so. He was going to open that can of worms and unpack it to the best of his abilities. You're telling me all those stories about kids getting stolen are actually you guys just trying to repopulate? Their mouth dropped open in offense.
I have no concerns about repopulating. I adopted those kids entirely because I was fond of them.
Didn't you use the death of one of their parents as a way to lure them in? The fairy hesitated.
Well, technically, he came to me.
Oh my god, Jason said, shaking his head. That's so fucked. And yet, a tiny, amused grin was making its way across his face. The fairy's half-hearted attempts of defending itself were amusing in a what-the-fuck kind of way, and he couldn't really bring himself to be mad when even the fairy seemed to understand that it was a strange habit. After all, it
was what they had chosen to throw him off. Besides, he felt a little wave of warmth run through him as he realized just how hard the fairy had tried to calm him down. It was quickly replaced by a wave of horror.
"Do I owe you for helping me?" he asked.
The fairy looked mildly surprised, but then it shook its head.
"No, I did that for myself too. Seeing you freak out was not fun."
Jason squinted suspiciously, trying to find the trick in their words, but it had directly said that he didn't owe it. So he breathed a sigh of relief. His eyes drifted to the sky and he found that it was starting to lighten. Right, the very thing that had started this. At least, he had an answer now. His body still reacted at about the rate that it would in the human world. He was exhausted despite the fact that he couldn't have been out for more than an hour or two. He made himself stand despite the exhaustion. His legs trembled beneath his weight, but he ignored them. He would deal with all of that when he got home.
"I appreciate all this," he croaked, grabbing the basket with shaking hands.
"Would you like some water as well?"
the fairy said, still a good few feet away, eyeing him like he was an animal that was preparing to bolt. To be fair, Jason just might have if he wasn't so scared of coming off as rude. He shook his head.
"Don't have a deal for that."
It hesitated for just a moment, looking like it very much wanted to say something before it decided against it.
"Then you are free to go."
"See you in a week," Jason muttered under his breath. He headed out, trying to ignore the sharp eyes boring into the back of his head. And indeed, it became a weekly thing. Once a week, he would leave the village in the middle of the night to see the fairy. They said that he should call him B, or Batman, but Jason would much rather call him Old Man. The fairy in question had laughed a little at the moniker, stated that it wasn't all that incorrect, and had motioned for them to start their weekly game. It wasn't a fair game, not really. You can't beat a kid at a game of pretend. Not that Old Man often found himself reacting in time to shoot Jason first. He couldn't say anything that was distinctively untrue, which meant that Jason could tell ahead of time when he was about to do something. After all, he would have to shove in the word pretend or mime or any other synonym before he said that he was shooting him. That doesn't mean that Jason never got shot. He was very much capable of being taken by surprise. He just never lost. "I was actually wearing armor," he told Old Man one time before shooting him point blank in the face. And he could have used that excuse for all the other times he was shot, but where was the fun in that? Jason delighted in coming up with new, completely bullshit ways to survive Old Man's attack. Maybe it was just a rush of satisfaction. Winning was always good, but it might have also been the tiny, indescribable sense of warmness that he got when Old Man gave him his specific, proud little smile he sometimes wore. So, every time, he came up with something new. "I used a mirror to deflect your rays." The fairy raised his eyebrows skeptically.
"I don't see you making a motion to block it."
"It's a big mirror," Jason said, giving a mock-fitting look as he shot him. Old Man was getting wise, though, so he said,
"I have pretend armor."
Unlucky for him, Jason was far better at this game than he could ever hope to be. He would have never survived this long if he hadn't the ability to improvise. "Actually, I used a gun that is specifically made to pierce through armor." old man seemed perturbed by the very thought, but they had allowed Jason to have the win. That time. Another time, Jason had gotten shot, and it was quick to tell them some unfortunate news. I had a totem of the undying. It paused. I don't know what that is. It means I can't die.
How?
Jason grinned and shot the Fae, because I win. And so, that was how it went. For months on end, Jason would stop by for food once a week. He knew that the townsfolk were suspicious. It wasn't particularly an easy thing to hide, that he was surviving far longer than he should have been without any people at home to sustain him, but he couldn't bring himself to care. They certainly didn't care if they were willing to allow him to starve just because his biological father was a terrible person. As long as they weren't trying to stop him from going, it was none of his concern. So a routine developed, and then a routine was broken. Jason was just about to take his basket and leave, as he usually did, when he noticed a hesitant look on Old Man's face. "What's up?" he asked, pausing in his futile attempts to zip up his windbreaker with one hand. Old Man smiled nervously.
"I would like to do another game."
Jason raised his eyebrows. "What do you mean?"
"Our usual rules, but instead of food, I want to change your end to give you a coat."
He started to point a finger gun at him, already prepared to win this thing, but the Fae held up his hands quickly.
"Different game."
Jason backed up a wary half a step, his eyebrows shooting into his hair. He wasn't really scared of the fairy anymore, couldn't bring himself to be when the man had gushed about his kids to him for hours on end on multiple occasions. But he was still a little wary, understandably. Even the fairy admitted to his adoption habit. Jason wasn't all that interested in having a dad at the moment, considering the last one had been awful.
"What kind of game?"
"If you win the approval of my kids, you get a coat. If not, you come home with me."
Jason's eyebrows shot up into his hairline.
"That sounds counterintuitive."
The fairy shrugged, and Jason gave himself a minute to think it over. He had some money saved up. Despite his late-night escapades, he hadn't abandoned his daytime life entirely. He had been doing odd jobs around town, saving up for a good coat, for quite a while now. He would be very happy to use the money on things he actually cared about instead, like books or some kind of variety in his diet. And from what he had heard, Old Man's kids were lovely. If anything, this was all very much skewed in his favor. Even more so than the Old Man seemed to know. Jason was pretty sure that the two kids he talked about so highly were those two fairies he had met the first time he had gone into the forest. So, he gave a careful nod. Instantly, two people appeared out of thin air within the ring. The pair were half behind their father, their heads poking out in either side.
"So, this is the new kid," said Oracle, smiling pleasantly.
"I still can't believe you managed to find a new kid to imprint on, B."
Old Man pouted, which is a sentence that should have never been strung together.
"We were gone for a month," Robin said.
"Speak for yourself, I was only gone for a week," said Oracle, shaking her head.
"I'm just that lovable," Jason deadpanned, and then he waved, "Hi, Oracle. Hi, Robin."
Their smiles lessened just slightly, and they gave him identically confused looks. The pair disappeared behind Old Man to whisper, and Jason's face flushed, Did they not remember him? That was, well, he understood. They had only talked once, and those people were over 100 years old, according to the stories. It made sense that they might not remember. Still, it was embarrassing to remember someone that doesn't remember you.
I don't think I remember you. Can I have your name?
Robin asked eventually, his eyebrows drawn upwards in confusion. And he sounded so genuinely sheepish and hopeful that Jason almost gave it to him. Instead, he gave a quiet, and clicked his mouth closed so he could glare with maximum effectiveness. Robin gave a tiny laugh. Right, sorry. It was worth a shot. But seriously, I don't think I remember you. Jason avoided his eyes, a blush beginning to creep up his neck. His gaze caught on the brilliant wings on Robin's back. They were a strange ombre, going from red at the tips to yellow to green at the shoulder blades, which, he admitted, made the blue of his shirt look better with the brilliant reds and yellows he adorned himself in, but Jason would still put the whole ensemble in the pile labeled Fashion Don'ts.
Nice to see you don't have those socks on your back anymore, Robin, he tried.
Robin jolted. He swung around old man to look at him again and gasped.
Oh shit, Oracle! It's the kid from a while back, remember? The one that I played chess with and had to give food?
Oracle's eyebrows knit together for just a moment before she, too, gave a quick intake of breath.
Right! The one that summoned me on complete accident.
Old man's eyes widened just slightly in recognition. Jason didn't know how to feel about the fact that apparently all three of them talked about him enough at home for him to be recognized that easily.
You look different now. How old are you? You're all grown up.
Jason frowned. It's only been a year? Robin and Oracle exchanged another confused look. Oracle looked back at him, her mouth opening to ask something, and then her eyes widened. She leaned closer to Jason, so much so that he was very tempted to back up.
Oh, and you were claimed by Talia, she said.
Instantly, the other two started leaning forward as well. Jason was not sure why these fairies didn't know about personal space, but he was curious too, so he let them examine his face. Jason hadn't noticed anything off himself, but something settled in their expressions and he realized that something was wrong.
It's your eyes that give you away,
old man said eventually, his lips pulled into a grim line.
They have a green sheen to them. That's her trademark.
Jason frowned. A mirror appeared in Robin's hand, and Jason snatched it up instantly, leaning close to peer at him. He had never much cared for his reflection, never bothered to look into it all that often, and now he found that he couldn't fully recognize himself. His nose was more upturned, his skin more tan, and his hair was streaked with white. He looked great, honestly. He rather liked the look, but it wasn't right. He had once looked exactly like a junk version of his father, and yet now he could pass for a little more than a distant relative of the man. And as he peered into his own eyes, he saw what the fairies had noticed. They glimmered with a thin green sheen that only just caught the light at certain angles, impossible to notice if you hadn't known to look for it, but definitely there. And then he remembered those hypnotic green eyes he had seen so long ago. Oh, he breathed. Robin's expression dimmed even more.
It's true?
Jason handed the mirror back over wordlessly, which was an answer in itself.
Oracle grimaced. So there is really no nice way to ask this. She got a few glares from her family, but she continued on nonetheless. She helps her father rule the in-between, and people on the verge of death are their domain. Is there any chance that you found her in the same way you found us? Jason wanted to lie, but from the look on the three's faces, they already knew. So, however hesitantly, he nodded. The fairies all flinched in unison. Jason's eyes found their way to the ground. At least you're okay, Oracle decided, her hand coming up to rest on his shoulder. It was a comforting weight. He leaned into it a little. Robin nodded. Though I guess this means that we can't take this one, he said, sounding like he had been denied an ice cream cone and was going to throw a fit about it the moment Jason was out of sight. Man, I really did want a little brother. For the record, I wasn't intending on becoming a part of the family. Oracle snorted. Oh, so you just gambled your life over and over again for fun? She said incredulously. Jason didn't have much of a rebuttal for that. But, Robin said, frowning a little. I guess you're Talia's. He spat the name like it was a curse. Jason wasn't sure this boded well for him.
It makes things more complicated,
old man admitted.
B, you can't cause an international incident over a kid, Oracle said, sounding somewhere between exasperated and fond.
Old man looked petulant.
Watch me.
A would kill you, Oracle said. Jason wasn't sure who this A was, but apparently he was terrifying because he was pretty sure Old Man went a shade paler, which wasn't possible for a fairy, especially one as pale as he already was.
I mean, I could always do that thing mortals do. Split custody or whatever.
He tried, sounding more unsure. Oracle dipped her head to the side consideringly.
But then we would have to see her, complained Robin.
Old man shook his head exasperatedly.
She's not a bad person, Robin. You two have to stop fighting over nothing eventually.
Robin looked like they were going to spend the rest of their very long life hating Talia, but sure. Old man gave a long-suffering sigh before turning back to Jason.
We'll figure it out. It is unfortunate that our little get-together went this way, but it seems you're already acquainted with these two anyways.
It was enlightening, at least, said Jason. He had a complicated array of emotions and thoughts that he was going to start sorting through when he got home, but for now, he decided to let himself relax and say goodbye to the strange three fairies. Oracle gave him a laugh and patted him on the top of the head.
I'm sure it was.
Jason smirked and waved as she disappeared. Robin was next to go back to wherever their home was. They ruffled Jason's hair roughly, and Jason yelped out a string of curses, but Robin was gone before he could do anything about it. And then, Old Man started to head back to his fairy circle.
Wait, you forgot something, Jason said.
It paused, his eyebrows raised.
My coat. Pay up, Old Man.
And despite himself, Old Man gave a tiny smile.
A new routine developed. He continued to force Old Man to play a game he was always destined to lose, That didn't change, but now the long waits that took place while Old Man scrounged the forest for human food were made more enjoyable by the two fairy children that hung out with him. Even Talia started showing up from time to time, despite Robin's insistence that she was the devil incarnate, or whatever. She was rather nice. And she had a couple of pet tigers, so Jason was very interested in everything she had to say. It was nice. Nice things never lasted. His father got out of jail, which should have been a good thing. Jason no longer needed to gamble for his life once a week, but his father was his father. Jason was honestly surprised that it took so long for the man to snap, between the altered appearance making Jason look more and more like a child born out of infidelity, and the messy house his father had come to, because Jason was, above all else, a boy. Really, it had been inevitable that something would happen. Jason was running. His breath came in labored whistles that steamed in the cold winter air as he sprinted towards the hole in the fence. His father was running after him at top speed, but, thanks to the man's time in jail, the man wasn't nearly as used to the terrain as Jason was, and kept slipping and tripping over things he couldn't see in the hard-packed snow. Jason slipped under the hole in the fence once again, thinking whatever was watching him that something had slipped through. Talia, not an animal, had broken the fence when she had met him the first time. The hole wasn't large enough for his father to squeeze through, and Jason was allowed to disappear into the relative safety of the woods. Footsteps thundered behind him as he darted between the trees, gaining on him faster than he would like. Branches whipped at the man, but he barreled right through them, adrenaline carrying him. Jason would repeat his opinion that he hated adrenaline sometimes, but it was the only reason he was able to keep running, so he rather liked it at the moment. He couldn't keep running forever, though. Jason reached the clearing, and he almost cried out in joy. "Dick! Barbara!" he screamed instead. It was a wild guess, an assumption based on the things he had been told over the short life that was about to be cut even shorter, but he was rewarded by two fairy children popping into existence. They looked like they had been summoned right out of bed, clad in pajamas and rubbing sleepy eyes, but they snapped to attention when their eyes landed on Jason's father, sprinting up the path and shouting curses. The man stopped cold when he saw the two fae. A hand wrapped around Jason's wrist, and he was dragged into Robin, into Dick Grayson. A wing was wrapped around him, pleasant and warm and safe, and Jason gave a hesitant smile. "What are you doing?" Oracle Barbara Gordon said, her tone pleasant and yet dripping with venom. "Jason?" His father ignored him. The two fairies stiffened just slightly at the name, but the man either didn't notice or didn't care. "Let's go home, okay?" Jason slowly turned to wrap his arms around Dick. The fairy had his name now. His choice in the matter didn't matter. The jig was up, but he had their names too, so maybe it cancelled out. "Maybe I'd rather be here," Jason said, and maybe he did. Maybe after all of these months he had learned to rather like the fae that had become such a large part of his life. He didn't completely trust them, but he didn't trust his father either, and at least they hadn't hurt him yet. "They are fae," his father said, as if he didn't already know. "They are nice." "Of course they're nice. They're fae. That's their thing," his dad hissed. Robin's head came to rest on his shoulder, his eyes cold where they were trained on the man in front of him. He smiled, if you could call it that. It was more of a baring of teeth than anything. "You know, we let it slide when people talk bad about us behind our backs.
when you think we aren't listening, but wow, I'm genuinely surprised. You think you can say this to our faces? His father sneered.
It's a little hard to be scared of two random fairy kids, especially not when I know your names.
Wings crept higher, fluffing up in irritation. Still, Oracle stayed calm. Her tail looped itself around Jason's ankle, a comforting weight.
Don't you know that you shouldn't be rude to a fae?
What are you going to do about it, Barbara?
Oracle didn't even flinch. She hummed lightly, her head tilting from side to side as if she were actually considering it.
Oh, nothing, I suppose.
Old Man hugged Jason's father from behind, his arm coming to rest over his shoulders and his head resting atop the man's own, his mild, sharp teeth flashing in the moonlight.
You're right that you shouldn't be worried about them, but this forest has far more fairy than even you humans know about, and this is our territory.
Talia leaned against a nearby tree, examining her nails with a kind of nonchalance that spoke of a battle that had been won before it had even started.
Normally, I'd say that attacking you here in our domain was unfair, but I think it is fitting. I mean, if you spend all your time hunting what can't fight back, maybe you deserve a taste of your own medicine.
And Jason had thought he was the one that liked to play games that were already decided. Perhaps he had only ever won because they allowed him to. The thought was strangely comforting. They could have stolen him away whenever they wanted to, and yet they had refrained, because that wasn't what Jason had wanted. Now Deacon Baft started to lead him to the fairy circle.
Get him out of here, please,
Old Man said, his eyes never quite leaving his prey, even as his smile softened, a pleasant thing made just for Jason. And then his eyes went cold again, clawed fingers beginning to curl in the flesh of his father's side.
He doesn't need to see this.
Jason, his father breathed. Jason glanced back at him, and then he looked at the two fairies closing in on the man, dangerous and angry. For Jason. His gaze drifted back to the two standing in the circle, their hands outstretched, like two people helping someone board a boat, wanting to make sure that they didn't slip and hurt themselves along the way. He took their hands and allowed them to pull him over the boundary to the other side. The end.
Author notes: Jason, by Bing, Fae Bruce and Fae Talia, having a custody battle. Jason. Reader's notes: this has been recorded for Boys Teams 2024, and also to like continue the series because I have a lot of fun with this series. I hope you've enjoyed. It was a really fun installment and also very long. I mean, yeah, I think I talked about it in the end notes for Bab's chapter, and yeah, it's still long. Not as long as Teams, but Team is a 3-chapter deal and not 2. But yeah, I hope you've enjoyed. I had fun seeing Jason, like, how Jason translates with his near death, actual death, with Talia saving him, and how he integrated into the family in a different way than both Dick and Barbara. And it was also neat to see Dick growing his wings and Barbara transform also. So yeah. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed, and please remember to drink some water today.